Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornelison for STEM Spots. Just going to be talking myself a little bit today. And I wanted to mention something called Facts Matter. And of course, in this time of great uncertainty over the last year or so and going forward into the future, it is more important than ever to mention that in science, facts matter. And of course, the first thing you have to establish is what exactly are facts and who gets to decide about facts. So you should know that in physics, at least, experiment is the final arbiter of, let's call it, truth, although no physicist is really searching for a philosophical truth. But we should also mention that at some level, this is not philosophy. So we don't debate in physics, is there a natural world, and does the natural world have meaning? That's pretty much assumed. It's sort of at the level of when your five-year-old tells you that they shouldn't have to go to school because they're not sure if the world really exists or if this is all a dream, and you tell them you have to go to school. Of course, not right now, because maybe school is online. So now, how about theories? How about theories as opposed to experiment? Well, of course, theories are very important. They provide unification, they tie things together, and they can give us predictions as we go forward. But as you well know, theories come and go or are modified all the time. So the most famous example, perhaps in physics at least, is Newtonian mechanics and gravitation. Newtonian mechanics brought to the fore in the 1700s by Isaac Newton, of course, brilliant mathematician and physicist, gravitation also. And they held sway pretty much over all of physics for many, 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 many years until the early 1900s, at which time a couple of different things came to the fore that put them on experimentally uncertain ground. And those would be special and general relativity, where it turns out that at high speeds, relative to a frame of reference, Newtonian mechanics could break down, and also for gravitating bodies, you could have a breakdown from what Newtonian mechanics would predict. And so the theories weren't thrown away, but they were modified in the face of experimental evidence. Experiment matters. Now, who gets to determine the facts? One thing you should understand is that science is done, at least in this day and age, pretty much in a fairly uniform fashion worldwide. Is there bias? Can bias come to the fore? Yes, it can. Has there been in the past certain kinds of elements that were dictating to some measure what kinds of things would be studied? That is conceivably true. But there's a series of checks, balances, and rechecks that have happened time and time again. Let me give you an example from the 80s of cold fusion. When cold fusion was proposed to be true as an experiment, and it was actually proposed in the pages of a newspaper instead of earliest in a scientific journal, scientists around the world went to work immediately trying to reproduce what these people said with respect to cold fusion. It isn't as if one experiment and one statement of a fact makes something so. It was found over the next several years that cold fusion could not be supported because it could not be substantiated at other universities. And that check allowed people to see what were the facts, let's call them that. One of the things you have to worry about also is, how about ego? So there's been a lot of talk over the last 10 years about cabals of scientists and whether or not scientists would collude together to, let's say, produce an alternative view of things. Amazingly enough, it's the ego of scientists at work sometimes that makes sure that this sort of thing doesn't happen. Even though scientists are on a quest and they want to find out things that are true and fit the facts, they also have sizable egos sometimes. And amazingly enough, those are helpful because scientists want to be right and they aren't going to just kowtow to any particular group who tells them what right is. They will go to their own lab, they will do their own work, they will tease out their own facts, and they will try their best to publish those facts and show that they are correct. And over a course of many, many publications and many, many years, people sort out things and come to some sort of an loose agreement before things can be established as being, quote, true, unquote. But it's a process that happens in real time, and it happens in a very, very organic way. There is not one single group that gets to stand over anything and say, this is true, and that is not true. No matter how much people would like to paint it that way, there is no group of scientists that has the final decision-making authority about these sorts of things. It's the great strength of science that all the time, hopefully, although there are occurrences where this is deviated from, exceptions, let's say, people look to nature and say nature is the final arbiter. Nature gets to decide if the things that I say can be considered, at least in this context, at this point in time, true. In physics, in science, facts matter. And in our everyday world, facts should matter too. This is Dave Cornelison for STEM Spots, signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.